Welcome to Ad Bible, an audio daily devotion from the Ezra Project. We join Alan J. Huth as he shares Bible passages and comments from over 30 years of his personal Bible reading journals.
Today brings us to Acts chapter 19, and I'm going to read all 41 verses of Acts 19. And it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples, and he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." And he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" They said, "Into John's baptism." And Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. There were about 12 men in all. And he entered the synagogue, and for 3 months spoke boldly, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. But when some became stubborn and continued in unbelief, speaking evil of the way before the congregation, he withdrew from them and took the disciples with him, reasoning daily in the hall of Tyrannus. This continued for 2 years, so that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "I adjure you by the name of Jesus, who Paul proclaims." Now 7 sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this. But the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, but who are you?" And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, mastered all of them, and overpowered them, so that they fled out of their house naked and wounded. And this became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks, and fear fell upon all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled. Also, many of those who were now believers came confessing and divulging their practices, and a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted the value of them and found it came to 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. Now after these events, Paul resolved in the Spirit to pass through Macedonia and Achaia and go to Jerusalem, saying, "After I've been there, I must also see Rome." And having sent into Macedonia 2 of his helpers, Timothy and Erastus, he himself stayed in Asia for a while. About that time, there arose no little disturbance concerning the way, for a man named Demetrius, a silversmith, who made silver shrines to Artemis, brought no little business to the craftsmen. These he gathered together with the workmen and similar trades, and said, "Men, you know that from this business we have our wealth. And you see and hear that not only in Ephesus, but in almost all of Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away a great many people, saying that gods made with hands are not gods. And there is danger, not only that this trade of ours may come into disrepute, but also the temple of the great goddess Artemis may be counted as nothing, and that she may even be disposed from her magnificence, she whom all Asia and the world worship." When they heard this, they were enraged and were crying out, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!" So the city was filled with confusion, and they rushed together in the theater, dragging with them Gaius and Aristarchus, Macedonians who were Paul's companions in travel. But when Paul wished to go in among the crowd, the disciples would not let him. And even some of the Asiarchs, who were friends of his, sent to him and were urging him not to venture into the theater. Now some cried out one thing, some another, for the assembly was in confusion, and most of them did not know why they had come together. And some of the crowd prompted Alexander, whom the Jews had put forward. And Alexander, motioning with his hand, wanted to make a defense to the crowd. And when they recognized that he was a Jew, for about 2 hours they all cried out with one voice, "Great is Artemas of the Ephesians!" And when the town clerk had quieted the crowd, he said, "Men of Ephesus, who is there who does not know that the city of the Ephesians is temple keeper of the great Artemas, and of the sacred stone that fell from the sky? Seeing then that these things cannot be denied, you ought to be quiet and do nothing rash, for you have brought these men here who are neither sacrilegious nor blasphemers of our goddess. If therefore Demetrius and the craftsmen with him have a complaint against anyone, the courts are open, and there are proconsuls. Let them bring charges against one another. But if you seek anything further, it shall be settled in the regular assembly. For we are really in the danger of being charged with rioting today, since there is no cause that we can give to justify this commotion." And when he said these things, he dismissed the assembly. In 1992, when I read this passage in my journal, I wrote, "Paul invested in people. 3 months of preaching in the synagogue, 2 years at the school." Then I also wrote verse 15, "I recognize Jesus, I know Paul, but who are you?" Of course, that was the evil spirit speaking. Then I wrote, "Will the enemy recognize me, or will he leap all over me?" And then finally in verse 20, "So the word of the Lord was growing mightily and prevailing." And the last part of this chapter, verses 21 through 29, I wrote, "Business before religion, or business because of religion? Lord, help me keep a proper perspective and balance between my business life and serving you." So let's go back and look at these 2 points. First of all, verse 15 says, "But the evil spirit answered them, 'Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, but who are you?' And boy, I wonder about that. I sure hope that the evil spirits recognize me. They recognize that I've been with Jesus. They recognize that I'm serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that I'm not some, quote, religious figure, as these 7 sons of a Jewish high priest seem to be." Verse 11 reminds us, "And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul." Now, I can't say that's ever happened to me. I can't say that I do extraordinary miracles, but I sure hope that I have a testimony for the Lord before people and before evil spirits. And verse 20 reminds us, "So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily." And again, I hope that that's the case in my own life, that I'm helping the word of the Lord continue to increase, and that through me and around me, with me and in me, that the word of the Lord is prevailing mightily. Now let's look at the second point, and that's the business before religion or business because of religion point. Let's see about keeping a proper perspective between my business life and serving the Lord. I don't believe I've shared anything about my career on these podcasts yet, so let me take a moment to do that. I have a political science degree, and my first job out of college was on the staff of the Colorado State Legislature. We were a nonpartisan staff, but I began my career in the political world, in state government, and the legislative branch. And so I served there for many years, serving the state legislature. And then I was hired by an organization called the Colorado Association of Commerce and Industry, which is like the state chamber of commerce. And there I served in a couple of capacities, but one was as a lobbyist for the business community across the state of Colorado. Not one particular business, but all businesses in the state. And so I continued to work in the legislative process as a lobbyist for the business community. After that, I was hired as a business consultant, and I worked for a consulting firm, training leadership and management teams. and I worked in a variety of capacities as a business consultant for many years, and still actually do some of that. And in 2002, I started the Ezra Project, a not-for-profit ministry. So I've had experience in the business community, the political community, and the religious community. All through all that, I was part of the Gideon's International as a volunteer. So I've always integrated or mixed ministry with my business career throughout my career. And now I make my living as the president of the Ezra Project, doing these podcasts and speaking in churches, connecting God's people to God's Word. I think it's great that the Lord has allowed me for over 15 years to do what I love as a job. So I don't make very many financial appeals on these podcasts, but of course, they're not free. They are free to you, but nothing is free. We have a staff that puts all these things together, office space and equipment, and everything else that you would expect to make these podcasts happen. So we offer them free. But we like to also ask you to consider becoming part of Club 365. Go to our website, EzraProject.net, that's Ezra, E-Z-R-A, where you can find a way to join Club 365 and support these podcasts financially. And whether you join or not, you can still financially donate so that we can continue these podcasts each and every day. So as we close out Acts 19, let's pray about how this applies to our daily lives. I pray, Lord, that we would be able to mix our business careers with our spiritual service to you, and there wouldn't be time for just one or the other, but with your blessing, we could do both. We could mix our professional careers with serving you so that the word of the Lord may continue to increase and prevail mightily. Give us those kind of opportunities, Lord, and we'll thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen.